I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, curb your enthusiasm, enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our dear friend John Heyman, great MLB columnist for the New York Post. And of course, you see him on the MLB Network, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We are wearing Pope shirts today to celebrate the miracle on 35th Street, the White Sox winning a series over the Giants. I don't think anyone saw it coming.
Yeah, I mean, they're better than they were, no question about that. I like some of the kids. Taylor looks good. The catcher, he's hitting, doing well. So I'm feeling better about them than I have been a long, long time.
Wow.
Oh, look at
that. That's great, John. Well, you know what? Mully sprung for T-shirts with the Pope on the front. Maybe we should send you one.
Absolutely. I love the Pope. Right from Dalton, Illinois, right?
Yes.
My college roommate.
Yes.
Right? Awesome.
Sox fan.
Yes, and they are playing inspired baseball lately because of who? Maybe there's a
7
connection.
7-13 in their last 20. That's like
listen, that includes the 8-game losing streak. What they are doing better, John, is that they're pitching better, they're doing the little things better, and I think people wonder now as far as what's next for Colson Montgomery. I know it's not a big story around the league, but the question is, he was their top prospect at one time, one of the best top in baseball, and he's on a hot streak. What's the philosophy right now in Major League Baseball with prospects like that? Bring them up and see what you got, or wait and be patient?
Well, it depends what team you have. I mean, the Angels bring guys up almost as soon as they're drafted. So, you know, that's the team that does. There are other teams that are more cautious. He obviously is very hot right now. He started out terribly. I think he went on that hiatus or a spa, whatever you guys called that, in 149 at the time. And now he's up. He's still below 250, though. So
yeah.
I'm not going to be outraged if they don't call him up. I mean, you're in the minors and you're below 250. You know, I mean, I know he's been very, very good. But I think I'd give it a little more time. But I'm kind of with you guys that it's getting close. I mean, if he keeps this going for another couple weeks, I'm right with you and say call him up.
So help us out, John. The Mets, of all teams, they got crushed by the Pirates. Was it 30-4 over the course of that series? That, I mean, you're not supposed to do that. That's not supposed to happen. You don't pay that kind of money for a baseball team and see that go awry.
I mean, I think their pitching was beyond, it was overachieving by quite a bit. They led the league in starting pitching ERA and overall ERA, and that's without Manaea, who could be their best pitcher, along with Senga. I mean, they've had pitching injuries. Senga, McGill out now. You've got Canning now out for the year. So, but even still, you should not lose 30-4 to the Pirates. The Pirates were the worst offense in the league going into that series. The Mets were the best pitching staff in the league going to that series. It's shocking. I mean, you'd like to think if you're from the New York side that it's an aberration, but it's almost a trend. They lost 9 of 10 fairly recently as well. So, things are not looking great right now for the Mets. Their pitching is clearly at a deficit and certainly not trending in the right direction.
John, I think you look at the Cubs coming home from Houston after losing that series in the way that they did. And today's the last day in June. They're off, and they're 13-13 this month. They're 500, which you look at it, okay, acceptable maybe based on their start, but every team in the division was better than that. What do you make of the Cubs and what's happened to them, and how would you feel if you're watching them on a daily basis?
Yeah, I still feel pretty good about the Cubs. I mean, a little bit of regression. They were overachieving in terms of the offense. I don't think there's any question about that. They don't have the best offense in baseball. It's very good. Very good offense. But I do think they were overachieving. I'm a little worried about Pete Crow Armstrong. Are they figuring out a little bit? He may have to make an adjustment. We'll see. But, I mean, right now he's still one of the top MVP candidates. So, I mean, you can't knock him. But he does chase a little bit. I like their team. They should win that division. St. Louis, to me, at this point, I think it's shocking. I think at best a 500 team, but I could be, you know, they're proving me wrong. Milwaukee, they're dangerous. I mean, every year they overachieve, and now they have this kid up, the Miz, and he looks like a number one starter. I mean, hearing from Milwaukee people, he needs refinement, but I mean, he's been as dominant as anybody but Skubal in the last 2 weeks. And I am a little concerned for the first time about Milwaukee. They're amazing the way they do it every year. That would not be good to lose out to Milwaukee again.
Yeah. How does the trade stuff look to you? Are you hearing anything? You know, we had heard that maybe like a week ago, 10 days ago, that the Cubs were ready to make a move, and then it came out Mitch Keller could be the guy. I just wonder if that's a big enough move, and when would they make that kind of move?
Right. Well, I mean, it couldn't be traded up until yesterday because they just had the Mitch Keller jersey giveaway day yesterday. So maybe it's today or tomorrow, right? I mean, you can't trade him when you're giving away his jersey. So, you know, maybe that's a possibility. There's nobody great out there. There's no Stavior on the way. Skeens is not getting traded. Sale not getting traded. Now hurt, but not getting traded. I mean, you know, we keep talking about Alcantara. He's got a 7 ERA. So, you know, I mean, I saw one periodical or whatever we call that, one website say, oh, trade Cade Horton, Ballesteros, and two other top at four prospects who the good fans have heard of, and certainly Cade Horton is performing pretty well at the major league level. Trade him for Alcantara. Alcantara has a 6.98 ERA. I'm not trading for him under any circumstances, certainly not giving up Cade Horton for him. So I don't know that there's a savior out there. I would rather, I think at this moment, I'd rather have Keller than Alcantara, but there's no number one pitcher. So they got a good team. You've got Shota back now. They're in a good situation, not great like they were, but I think they're in a pretty good position.
Well, I'll push back a little bit, John. I think what you're referencing in that Hall and proposed trade idea for Alcantara was ridiculous because it was absurd as how much prospect capital they were willing to give up. But I would think that when you look around the league and who's available and who the Cubs maybe could attain, Sandy Alcantara is a former Cy Young Award winner who had a good stretch earlier this year. Now, yeah, he gave up 7 runs on Saturday, and that maybe did nothing but drop his price, perhaps. But if I'm the Cubs, he still looks better to me than some of the other names, Severino, Mitch Keller, some other guys who were out there.
Adrian Hauser.
I still think that Alcantara is a guy that...
I'll take Adrian Hauser.
Oh, wow. Really?
He's throwing 97. He's got an ERA. I think it's probably under 2.
Yes.
I mean, we've got to get the hot pitcher. We have a half a season to go. He has ticked up. His velocity is much better than it had been.
You got to.
You're not going to have to give up a ton to get him.
Yes.
I don't know. When I saw that, I know that was just a website that didn't know what it was talking about. But
right.
When I saw that, I'm like, oh, my God, this is, you know, I don't think that's true because you don't have to give up even Horton for Alcantara at
John,
this point.
You're really bucking for the Pope t-shirt suggesting
yes.
that to Mully.
We're sending you one, John.
I love the Pope t-shirt. Yeah, that people like to see a Jew in a Pope t-shirt. I think that would be a big positive.
It's a baseball shirt.
It's a baseball shirt.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'll take it. I said I want it.
So I think that's an interesting thing about the pitching dilemma. I am curious when you look at the trade market. We've got about a month to go, but Are the Cubs going to have to look for a third baseman? Do you think that the Matt Shaw regression relative to – it's not as bad as it was before he was sent down, but it's not been great lately. Do you think – have you heard – are they looking for a third baseman?
I mean, I heard there were scouts looking at Hayes. I don't know he Brian Hayes with the Pirates, and he had a hot series. I think he was something like 7-for-13 against the Mets. Of course, everybody hit against the Mets, but overall, his OPS is still around 600. So I'm not seeing that a trade for him at this moment is the right move. He's also got years to go, and I still believe Shaw is their third baseman of the future. So I'm not seeing that. I don't see. And again, Arenado, same thing. He's around 700. Not much better with the OPS. And I don't think the Cardinals are dealing him to the Cubs. The Cardinals are in the race. And he's expensive. I mean, I do think it's pitching. I think it's starting pitching, and I think it's bullpen for the Cubs more than anything. I don't know that there is a great third baseman on the horizon. There are, like, change-of-scenery type guys like Renhifo or, I don't know, maybe Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, but nothing that's going to wow you. I mean, I think it's the same thing with the rotation, though, at this point. I mean, you could compare them to each other and say, well, this guy, you know, Alcantara is better than Keller or Keller is better than whoever. The fact is, none of these guys is the number one starter right now, and I'm not sure any of them is the number two starter. So I'm not giving up Cade Horton or any top prospects unless I get a guy who I think is really going to impact the race, and I'm not sure any of these guys are going to do that.
John, you know, we talked a little bit. Horton had a bad outing. It was his first really bad outing of the year, and he gave up 7 runs, and he got knocked around pretty good. But that's kind of young pitchers, right? Isn't that kind of supposed to be the way things go, where as you pitch, you get tired, your arm gets sore? I mean, who knows what is going on behind the scenes? But that's almost like it's rare that you come up and you're just like an ace. Now, I know we're seeing a little bit of it, but he had one little setback. I would tap the brakes on a lot of fear about him moving forward, but I'd also be aware that young guys haven't pitched this many innings before, and you got to be aware of it. And we've seen it all over baseball where you start cutting back on the amount of innings guys pitch.
Yeah, I mean, once a year we see a guy come up like Mizorowski and throw 2 no-hit games. Obviously, nobody throws 9 innings anymore. One was 5 innings, one was 6 innings. I mean, Mizorowski looks like a dominant guy who's going to be a number one starter. Cade Horton, I think, is going to be a very good major league starter. I don't know that he's going to be a number one starter, but he's still, I mean, even a number two starter is extremely valuable, and I'm not trading him for anything that's out there. I mean, if Skeens was out there, sure, I'd throw him in there and 10 other guys. If Sale was out there, I would give up Horton for Sale,
right,
if he was healthy. But these other guys who are number three starters, I mean, I think Horton is going to be a number two starter, and you've got him under control for another 5.5 years. So to me, it makes no sense. There's nobody out there I'm trading him for, and I still believe that he's going to be – I mean, I'm not even counting the one start. I didn't see him as a – you know, the guy who came up and was like Mizorowski, or when he came up, Harvey, or – you know, when he came up, you know, Seaver, you know, using New York guys. But
yeah.
I didn't see him as that guy. But there's nothing wrong with being a number two starter. In fact, it's quite valuable. In fact, there is no number two starter out on the market right now. Alcantara is a nice name. He was a Cy Young winner. He's off the Tommy John. He's got probably the worst ERA of any qualifier in Major League Baseball. I'm not trading for him.
Got to ask you this on the heels of last night, speaking of pitching. The Tigers somehow are the best team in the American League, and it's a big reason why is because Tarek Skubal last night was just dominant. And it was great that he had a national audience so people could appreciate just how special he is in Detroit, because I think a lot of people may know about him who cover baseball, but the casual fan, like, wow, who is that guy and how impactful he has been?
I mean, he is by far the best pitcher in baseball. The AL Cy Young race is very, right now, close. He's the overwhelming favorite because he's the best pitcher, and he won last year, and he has the best stuff, and he's has the most dominant games. But if you look at the stats, I mean, Crochet is right up there with him. Hunter Brown is right up there. DeGrom right up there with him, and so is Max Fried. So It is a great five-man race, but as far as who's the best pitcher in baseball, nobody should hesitate. The guy, Tarik Skubal, is unreal. Ninth-round draft choice. Somehow he got $500,000 as a ninth-round pick. Not sure how he did it at the University of Seattle. Good negotiating, even at that point. But he's worth, I don't know if he's worth $500 million, but he's worth several hundred million at this point. He is clearly the number one pitcher in baseball, even above Schemes.
That's amazing. And I agree with you. I think he's spectacular. And, you know, he's also like a horse of a man, right? I mean, you don't really worry about him kind of breaking down because he's so damn big.
Yeah, and he's a left-hander throwing 100 miles an hour. I think he finished off a game in the ninth inning with 102 miles an hour. I mean, left-handers generally throw, you know, 1 to 2 miles an hour slower on average than right-handers. A left-hander throwing 100 miles an hour, starter in the game, and hits 102 in the ninth inning. I mean, you know, he looks like he's on a path to be an all-time great. And he's a great young man. We had him on our podcast. He's fantastic. You know, and there were rumors last year that they might trade him. I mean, crazy. That's not happening. That said, they've had some talks, and they are way, way, way apart from what I understand in the talks. Not even close. Hmm. I mean, he needs to be at least in the Gerrit Cole $300 million plus category, and maybe even more.
It's a lot for a pitcher. So, John, help educate our audience, because I think that James Wood might be the best player nobody's heard of. And over the last 162 games, you look at his numbers, and he has been outstanding. Got walked intentionally 4 times. And just who is he, and how impactful and how good can he be?
Yeah, I mean, he was in that draft a few years ago with the Padres where there basically were like 4 good players. And they picked in the first round, they picked Jackson Merrill, number 25. In the second round, they picked James Wood. I mean, talk about scouting. That was the worst draft in probably the last 50 years. And they got 2 superstars in the first 2 rounds. Now they traded him because the Padres were willing to gamble. They traded for Soto in that big deal. I mean, the Nats would be without him and Abrams and Gore, plus the other 2 guys they got in that Soto deal, they'd be the Rockies. I mean, he is outstanding. 4 intentional walks. I mean, I think that matched his career total previously or beat it. I mean, the guy is terrific. I saw a stat where over his first 162 games, it's almost identical to Bryce Harper. Now, of course, Bryce Harper was 19 years old at that point, but still, to have a 930 OPS, he's got to be an all-star. He is outstanding, really good. They have a few great, great players to build around, but they don't have the pitching. You know, they're kind of, if you combine them and the White Sox, I think you have a whole excellent team, but unfortunately you can't do that.
I'm curious how you feel about the idea that everyone gets an all-star. I got to be honest with you, I'm a Sox fan. I've watched the team all year. They don't have an all-star on that roster, and if they end up with one, it's someone that will not be an all-star probably again. Does that matter? Is it okay just because you want someone wearing the uniform? It just seems like they ought to make an exception to that rule. If a team isn't performing at a certain level, then why pretend like they have an all-star?
I'm with you. Under the current rules, where there are guys who are excellent players getting excluded, last year was Lindor, right, who ended up second in MVP, was excluded because you needed an all-star from every team. Right, if you're the Rockies and you're on your way to 30 wins, you don't deserve an all-star. The White Sox, I saw their MVP for the first half, at least noted by MLB.com, was Vargas. I mean, he's been an average, you know, I mean, it's been better, but I mean, what's his OPS? It's like 720, right? That's close to 100 average, right? So, you know, I don't see an all-star in that team. I'm with you under the current rules where they have a certain number of guys for each position and the certain number of total. Yes, I'm with you. To exclude guys who are MVP candidates, so you can include a guy who's average, I think it's ridiculous.
Before we let you go, John, quickly, when you look at Kyle Tucker's return to Houston, they gave him a nice video tribute. He had 4 hits on Saturday. Certainly, the conversation now has kind of been rekindled or revisited. It's been ongoing, but do you think he is a guy that will be staying with the Cubs? Is it too early to tell? Or how should we view the Kyle Tucker situation?
Well, I mean, I think players love being in Chicago. If they are close. I don't know that he's going to go for every last dollar. They should be able to do it. They have not stepped out and, you know, signed one of the biggest 10 deals to this point. Their biggest deals are Hayward and Swanson, both under $200 million. This one obviously will not be under $200 million. It's going to be certainly over $300 million. I certainly think as a big market team where he's thriving and he likes it very much, at least that's what he said, and I believe it, they should do it. That said, there's going to be competition. You saw that the Giants are so desperate they took a DH, a malcontented DH, yeah, with a $313 million contract and gave up four players to get him. $313 million. Devers is not as good a player as Kyle Tucker. And as a free agent, you don't have to give up four players for him. So there could be somebody out there. Could it be the Giants, Dodgers, could be the Red Sox. I mean, there are teams out there that are going to go above and beyond what you think. And sometimes you have to do things that you think are illogical. But he is a very good and consistent. I mean, look at his record. It's the same thing every year. And he's good all around. He's a very good defensive player. Is he Pete Pro Armstrong? Is he going to have a 3 or 4 war as a defensive player? No, not as a right fielder, but he's a very good right fielder, and they need to get it done.
Great stuff, John. Let us know what size you want and when you're going to be in Chicago. We'll have it waiting for you.
Thanks, John.
All right, XL. All right.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you. That's our guy, John Heyman. That's great stuff. 312-644-6767. A lot of meat on that bone.
Yes.
There.
The Kyle Tucker stuff is worth revisiting.
No question. Mully and Haw on the score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this a place you could see yourself being long-term?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a phenomenal first half of the season here so far playing, and it's been nothing but great. So, I can definitely see myself, in that situation. But, obviously there's some other stuff that, we've got to get through and whatnot. But, I've had nothing but a phenomenal time here.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. That, of course, is Kyle Tucker. He was talking with Zach.
He was actually, that was Mike Berman on NBC5 Sports Sunday. He also doubled down. That was a week ago. And on Friday, he spoke with Zach on the pregame show. And in his return to Houston, sounded as amenable to, he's going to keep his options open. He's a veteran, right? He's not going to say anything that is going to disqualify him from that possibility. I guess the broader question is, how competitive are the Cubs willing to be in the Kyle Tucker sweepstakes? And a weekend like the one they just experienced, I think, underscores its value. It raises the question because of his return to Houston. And it makes you wonder what is their plan without him, if they have one, and how much urgency does that create this year before the deadline? Lots of good questions.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would be great to get that done, just get it done. But I don't even know. When John Heyman tells us, what he believes the cost of things are, I tend to believe him. And
it's a moving target, though, Mully. And yes, it's also very interesting to hear him reference Kyle Tucker and then reference $300 million. Because previously, we all have been sort of under the impression, or maybe it's a lazy generalization, I don't know.
Yes.
$500 million has been where we've talked about.
It's a crazy amount of money.
$500 million.
The difference is insane. Can we just split the difference? And then who cares what happens?
Well, I think Bruce is trying to split the difference. Bruce Levine, who we'll talk to at 9 o'clock, posed over the weekend the possibility of a shorter-term contract in terms of years, but with a higher average annual salary. Bruce suggested on Inside the Clubhouse $250 million for 5 years.
you know, that is pretty good.
It's a pretty good salary, yeah.
Pretty good.
I don't know where it will be, but let's say the Cubs have to be comfortable going into a territory they haven't really ventured seriously. I don't really consider, I think the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, they were never seriously a part of. They haven't really gone down this road before, and as John Heyman referenced, the biggest free agent contracts they have signed, Dansby Swanson, Jason Hayward, John Lester. And you got to go back a decade before you get to those, the first two. I think at midseason, you start to realize just how quickly time passes. And you've got a half season left of Kyle Tucker. And he is your most valuable player. With due respect to PCA, Kyle Tucker, I think, has been the guy who changed things and maybe made everything possible for PCA. It's a good debate. It's easy to say that this morning when PCA is in a bit of a slump, but Kyle Tucker has been as valuable as anybody, including Pete Crow Armstrong, to this team.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Find a way to keep him.
We've had this conversation, this idea with PCA that he's done so well, that he's the priority guy, and you gotta have him no matter what. You control him. You're going to keep him. You're not going to let him go. But I think the priority has to be with Kyle Tucker. And I don't think that PCA's emergence has made Tucker's presence any less important. And I think the key to what this season has been is the two of them in combination. And I would like to see both of them here for a while.
It's a complicated thing, I think, because we do tend to lump, I think, PCA's contract extension, which made news earlier this year, the conversations, and Kyle Tucker's future. They don't have to be related right now. Right. I think you have a priority here. And they may not address either one of them before the end of the season, which is likely, actually. But I think what you start to wonder is the future. You start to look at the future. For instance, Sandy Alcantara, despite what John said, I still think is a guy you're going to have conversations with Florida about. What do they want? Well, they had a trade agreed to in principle for Lizardo, and Owen Casey was going to be the guy going to Florida in return. They may still want him. Are you willing to trade him, Mully, if you are concerned about losing Kyle Tucker? Because he's really the Kyle Tucker replacement. He provides you insurance to losing Kyle Tucker, your left-handed slugger in AAA. I don't know that you can afford to get rid of Owen Casey and risk losing Kyle Tucker. That's not good asset management.
I agree with you. I think that I think that it's the kind of thing where as you look at it and pick it apart, we're moving on in this year, right? And you got to start thinking about what's going to happen. Do you want to see Jed get a contract reassigned, get extended? I feel like
Jed's contract?
Yeah, like, yes. I feel like you need to resolve all these things
Maybe they have resolved it. We don't know these front office contracts. Yes. They don't announce
they're
them. Sometimes
quiet.
They're stuck in a drawer, and maybe this next to a pen, they don't sign them until they have to. All those things. It's really something they may have already taken care of. I do think he has earned a contract extension, despite, you know, I think you can say that at midseason. This Cubs season is so much better than it was a year ago. They're 11 games better at the midway point, and they're in that position largely because of some of the moves that he has made. I give him credit for that. But right now, he's got a critical month ahead because of the opportunity that exists in 2025.
312-644-6767. Sean is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you giving me the time. I just want to talk about Javier Estad. If he comes back, I mean, that would be a shot in the arm, too.
Yep.
And then I wanted to add, can you think about this? So if they had not made that Kyle Tucker trade, and they had kept Seiya Suzuki in right field, and then you got Isaiah Paredes on third, and then Cam Smith, you know, DH'ing. You know, what about the position they'd be in there? You guys just hit on the Owen Casey, I agree that we need to get a starting pitcher, but we also have to plan for the future too. you know, so that's all I have.
All right.
Thanks for the phone call. Look, nobody was a bigger fan of Cody Bellinger than I was. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, lamenting that they haven't used the money that they got and they saved and all that stuff. But let's be honest about what Kyle Tucker has done. He has affected this lineup in a way that Cody Bellinger didn't. He's a better overall player. He's a top 10, maybe top 5 player in baseball. He's consistent as they come. And I don't think that you can compare the home run totals between Paredes and Tucker, but there's no comparison in the overall value to a team.
Did you see they showed the statistics that Paredes is a pull hitter and where all his home runs have gone?
Yeah,
and he couldn't do that in Wrigley.
He really couldn't do
reason.
That.
No,
he benefits from playing in the right ballpark.
Yeah,
that was a smart trade by the Astros. It was a smart trade by the Cubs.
It was. I mean, I don't think you can look at that trade and say that it was a failure. Maybe if he doesn't sign and you don't bring him back or you don't invest in the guy, maybe then
it's a gamble.
You can ask yourself, well, wait a minute.
You're right.
Cam Smith's a monster. Look at the size I get.
He looks like Adonis.
But the reality is, if you didn't make that deal, then Cam Smith's not on this roster.
If they didn't make that deal, Cam Smith is at AA Tennessee or AAA Iowa. He just is. And they changed positions. They took a gamble. The Astros took a calculated risk. So did the Cubs.
Yeah.
Trading for Kyle Tucker was a calculated risk that we always encourage executives to make. Don't be a hypocrite. And now that it's like midway through the season, oh boy, Paredes is better than we thought.
Yeah.
Look at Cam Smith in right field. We talk about it. It's fun to compare and contrast. But that was exactly the deal they needed to make. And they're exactly where they need to be. In first place with a chance to contend because of Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a really good baseball player, and I admire his ability. And it's not just with the home runs. He is a very good outfielder, and he's a very good hitter, like just spraying the ball around, doing stuff. He's a very dangerous person to have on your team.
4 hits on Saturday. Yeah. He took Valdez down the first baseline yesterday in his first at-bat. This is a professional hitter who consistently shows up. The question will be, what will he be worth? Are we exaggerating the value of the contract or the size of it when we say $500 million? And if you're the Cubs, are you willing to go that high if that is true? If you're Tom Ricketts, I'm not sure you have a choice.
Yeah, I don't think you have a choice. I really don't. I think you got to bring this guy back.
Or else you risk.
Or you look like it looks like you lost.
The indelible mark that would be left by Kyle Tucker leaving after 1 year because you couldn't afford him, that would be something I think that would be a legacy that Tom Ricketts doesn't want to consider. I think that's the best way to consider it right now. And right now, you know, whether it's with Mike Berman on Sports Sunday or with Zach in the pregame show or to the assembled media in Houston, Kyle Tucker has said all the right things. And he sounds like a guy who enjoys Chicago and enjoys Wrigley Field. And he's talking about the ivy and all the things. You know, he's falling for it. It's working, Mully.
It's
working. The charm of Wrigley Field is working.
How could it not? I mean, like, you know, every ballpark we see, they're not filling it. There's not like people are out there in the heat, willing to sit through anything just to watch the Cubs and be a part of that. I think that that would get you convinced that this is a pretty special spot.
And we don't know exactly what he's thinking or what he's looking for. But I think if you're just about the atmosphere, the environment, and a competitive front office that is serious about competing for World Series titles or pennants and division titles, then Kyle Tucker, if it's just about the money, maybe the Dodgers blow everybody away, or maybe who knows what will happen in free agency. But right now, things seem to be going according to plan, and it's a good plan. Let's hope the Cubs plan on keeping him.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to our guy, Casey Johnson, in a second. But before we do, Stefan is in Oak Brook, or is it Steven? And he wants to make a point about the Bulls. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. How you guys doing today?
Good, good. Very good. Thanks, mate.
All right. I'm a Chicagoan, and I've been following. I don't think I've ever missed a Bulls game since Michael Jordan was on the team and all that kind of good stuff. But I don't understand this theory of why it's like this secret code of not understanding where we have a big three with Kobe, Wright, and Bozulis and Giddey. This theory of trading Kobe, Wright, or not re-signing him sounds ridiculous to me. Kobe, Wright... He's proven already because they put him in different positions. Okay, before they got Giddey, they put him at point guard. So it's kind of like it was two guard, you know. And he thrived in that position, okay, where he would score points and get assists. What is this ridiculous theory of not re-signing Kobe Wright? I'm trying to understand.
Thanks for the phone call. It's related to his future of his contract and whether or not you'd be able to, if he's worth the investment and the extension and what that would cost initially and over the course of the deal.
And it's also related to the fact that there's very few people that you can actually trade and get value for.
Yeah,
he's in this contract situation. If you trade him, David, you get a lot in return.
Get a lot in return, and he's also attracting the most interest in the trade market.
Yes.
So if you're talking about two first-round draft picks, which is what would be the going rate for a player of Kobe White's caliber, and you don't have a lot of draft capital, you might be willing to deal him, especially if you're looking at a season that you're not sure what it's going to be, and you're going younger, and it's going to take a while because of Essanga is 18 years old, and Matas Buzelis has just turned 20. You're young. You've gotten a lot younger. In the last year and a half, you've traded, Caruso, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and now Lonzo Ball. You have gotten younger on purpose. That's why Kobe White would be open they would be open to trading Kobe White.
No doubt about it. All right. We'll be right back with KC. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Cubs fans, it's Pat Hughes.
And Ron Coomer here, the voices of Cubs Radio right here on the Score.
Back toward the wall, that ball is going to be gone! Three-run homer, Pete Crow Armstrong.
And right now, you're listening to the number one sports morning show in Chicago, Mully and Haw.
It's where you start your day every morning to talk Cubs and all of Chicago's teams, weekdays starting at 5:30 a.m.
Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, the official home of the Chicago Cubs.
And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got up this morning, walked out to the garage, and I froze for a second. Not because anything was wrong, but just to appreciate the beautiful floor I have from Comer and Cross. They came out a couple weeks ago. It took a day for them to get everything out of my garage, to fix my floor completely, and then put the gleaming new Comer and Cross finish on it. I got to tell you, I just stood there and I admired it because I knew that there was no way that anything was going wrong with this. It's going to be great for years to come because they fix all the cracks and pits perfectly, and then they apply that new floor, and they are the gold standard. These are the people that transform your entire garage by putting in a floor that beautiful. Comer and Cross is the gold standard, never guaranteed to never chip, crack, show any tire lift like epoxy or paint ever. The installers are all uniform pros. They came out to the house, no freelancers. Big difference, right? And right now, they're offering $750 off their already low price. Operators are standing by now, so go ahead and give them a call. Comer and Cross, 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. That's 1-800-NEW-FLOOR, or you can go to Comer, Comer, Cross.com.
Step up to the plate like a pro with the world's largest sports book at your fingertips, Circa Sports Illinois. It's sports betting the way it should be, with high app limits, low holds, exceptional customer service, and more. Whether you're betting with the home team or scouting the next big matchup, take your swing with Circa Sports and the Circa Sports app. Start betting like a pro from anywhere, anytime in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circasports.com.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code FRESH to get an extra 35 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code FRESH for a 35 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FRESH for a 35 cents per gallon bonus.
Now it's time for the Dogs Delivery Report, brought to you by Chicago Dogs Baseball. It's a big week at Impact Field with Chicago Dogs Baseball. The Chicago Dogs are in a race for first with the Lake County Dachshunds. The Chicago Dogs will start a week-long homestand on Friday, facing off against the Kane County Cougars, followed by a series against the Winnipeg Goldeyes, with games in Rosemont every day through next Thursday. Come on out for a fireworks spectacular at Impact Field this weekend. Get tickets at the ChicagoDogs.com, and that's the Dogs Delivery Report.
Mullen Haw will be back in 60 seconds on The Score.
This is a special alert for Americans who owe more than $10,000 in back taxes. Get ready for a toll-free hotline number. Call and get free information on how to take advantage of new initiatives that could significantly reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. Call Stop IRS Debt today at 800-655-6697. Learn how you can stop collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments, all by using a proven A-plus BBB-rated tax system that negotiates with the IRS for you. If you haven't filed returns in years, or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get tax relief. The government is ready to work out a generous program that can resolve your tax debt quickly. Be warned, this situation won't last forever, and your tax debt will only get worse if you don't act now. Do not try to handle it yourself. Call Stop IRS Debt now for free information. 800-655-6697. That's 800-655-6697. 800-655-6697.
Running out of burgers at the tailgate? Hard. Forgot your sunglasses? Hard. Your driver lost by an inch? Hard. Catching all your favorite racing content on Xumo? Easy. Life is hard. Xumo is easy. Stream NASCAR content anytime on Xumo TV, Xumo Streambox, or Xumo Play.
The guy that I'm seeing now, I'm wondering why the Texas Rangers didn't bring him to the major leagues and put him right in the middle of their rotation, because I know they've got some good pitchers there. But this guy is throwing the ball as well as just about anybody. And, you know, for my feeling, I feel great for Adrian, because he obviously worked hard to get back to where he once was. And right now, this is a different guy than probably a lot of teams saw when they were scouting him, trying to say, can he fit into our organization? Right now, these seven games are just about as good as anybody around. And to me, he's a mid to high two right now.
Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's pretty good.
Wow.
From Steve Stone.
Yes.
He's not known for kind of creating or making up or overselling a story.
He's not a hot take guy.
Adrian Hauser has pitched very well for the White Sox, to the point where at first I was kind of amused they got this guy to leave the minor leagues and come up.
He was signed in the afternoon, and he pitched at night.
And yet, with the number of starts he's put together and how good he's been, he's as good as anybody out there. You heard what John Heyman had to say. He'd go after him over Sandy Alcantara.
Seven starts, 1.90 ERA. His WAR is 2.1. In 42 and two-thirds innings, he struck out 31. His whip is 1.172. These are impressive numbers. He is only 3-2, but that's more of a product of playing for the White Sox. And the one-loss record is somewhat irrelevant. He's got the stuff. He has been consistent. And I still feel a little hesitant if I'm a team like the Cubs, who needs an ace, to look at Adrian Hauser as the answer, because it's a seven-game sample. And he was in the minor leagues to start the season for a reason. So it's somewhat inconceivable to me, but I'm getting there, and I'm listening to you. Yeah. Keep an open mind. To think that the answer to the Cubs issues is a guy who started the season in AAA.
I'm not arguing that, but I'm moving beyond that. I'm moving beyond the Cubs. He's talking about the Mets and their pitching problems.
Bingo.
Let's go.
Yeah, I could see that. Mets had him.
Wouldn't
that
be something
the Mets had him
do?
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
And he can – so I think from the Sox perspective, so there's two different ways to look at this. If you're the Cubs, you're hesitant. But if you're the White Sox, you're open for business, because this is a guy that was a shrewd signing. He opted out. You made the most of him. Ethan Katz has done a nice job. Brian Bannister's probably contributed. He probably has.
You know, he's the guy. They got someone there.
You can flip.
Who knows about pitching?
You can get a prospect.
You can flip him, and you can maybe flip Savaille too, because the Cubs are high on him.
The Cubs are high on him.
Oh, I made that up.
You're
too.
High on him going to the Cubs. Stop with that nonsense, because I don't think that he's a guy you could talk me into. Adrian Hauser, possibly. I also think you can't ignore Jordan Wicks at AAA, who could be a guy that could contribute to the Cubs. He was very good, I think, Saturday night or Sunday night. He went 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts to 1 walk, and 12 in a row at one point, according to Tommy Burch. Jordan Wicks is coming on for the Cubs. But back to Hauser. What changed, do you think? That's the bigger, broader story. How does a guy at that stage of his career get this good this fast?
It's a really good question. I mean, you heard John talk about how he's improved his velocity. So you don't know what was going on with him or why he wound up where he was. He's also, you know, he's a veteran guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of knows how to pitch. He's learned how to pitch, and now he's got higher velocity. And, you know, we asked Tommy Hotovy about that, about all these guys that are coming up, and how is it that they're – you know, they're throwing these explosive fastballs. And he said, basically, we can add a couple miles an hour on your pitching if you do this and that. I think that's what has happened here. I think that they saw something with him, and they had some inside information maybe about him. And then they figured, hey, we can do this and do that, and maybe it'll work. And it's worked great.
Still somewhat, if remarkable, might be overstating it, but it's somewhat remarkable that a 32-year-old who has 9 years of major league experience suddenly has increased his velocity to the point where he's now one of the most sought after pitchers at the trade deadline.
Let's get to Ryan in South Bend. Hey, Ryan.
How we doing, fellas?
Good.
Long time listener, first time caller. But, you know, when it comes to a guy like Hauser, I think this was just an unbelievable move by the front office. And I'm not a guy who's going to be jumping in line to give Getty a ton of credit. But, yeah, I mean, you got to flip him, right? I mean, he, like Steve said, he's pitching like a high two. And these are the kind of moves you got to make when you're in the situation the White Sox are in. And I think you got to flip him. He's 32. He doesn't fit your timeline, right? But
yeah,
you got to be a sell for sure.
No doubt about it. And you know, when you talk about the Cubs in this way, they could give up. They've got really good outfielders that are blocking even younger outfielders. You don't have to give up
Owen Casey?
You don't have to give up Casey.
No.
Whoever's behind him would still start.
Kevin Alcantara?
Kevin Alcantara would start for the White Sox tomorrow, okay, and be good. I'm just saying. You know, who's behind him, David? Let's go.
I'm not going to the Tennessee Smokies website.
Get to the Smokies, okay, and let's find out who it is. That guy can start tomorrow.
I wonder if the Cubs will consider Adrian Hauser or somebody like that after they come off of some of the other potential aces. Sandy Alcantara didn't pitch like an ace on Saturday. It's one outing. He hasn't been that great this year. That's a half season. I still would feel better about him than some of the other guys have been mentioned.
He's still coming off Tommy John. He's still getting better. He's still, like, he might be better in a year than he is right now.
This is a season about ceilings.
Yeah.
It's a season about trying to reach your fullest potential. And to do that, I think you want guys who are capable of having the highest ceiling, whether it's a guy you're promoting from AAA or a guy that you're trading for. It's all about how much you're capable of accomplishing in this season that the urgency exists for a lot of different reasons.
We're both looking good in our T-shirts.
Yes.
The Miracle on 35th.
Yes, got a couple guys compliments on that.
Yeah. We got Casey Johnson next. We're going to talk some Bulls. We're going to ask him why Coby White, since people believe that that's the next guy gone. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of rumors. We'll find out what he's hearing about these rumors, and did he see this Lonzo Ball thing coming?
And you know what? The Score and the Cubs are celebrating 100 years of Cubs radio this Thursday night at Wrigley Field. That night, the Cubs will be giving away special Bluetooth speakers to the first 10,000 early arriving fans to commemorate the anniversary. Keep listening right here on the Mullen Haw Show today for your chance to win one of those speakers.
Those speakers look great. I know Dustin is hunting around trying to break into
that's where he is.
Break into a room and get some whatever. No, he would never do that. All right, we got KC next. Molly and Haw on the Score.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.